Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
This is a reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So my friend Otis Andrews tells the story of going to the dreaded family reunion. In the good old days, for those of you on this side of the church, in the good old days, a few of you in the middle of the church, in the good old days, families far and wide would gather their whole tribe in some place and have a family reunion and spend the day, or maybe even the weekend, God forbid, all being together. And Otis tells the story of going to his family reunion. His mother had five brothers and five sisters, and as he describes it, umpteen cousins. So they had to rent out the Ebenezer Methodist Church for their homecoming family reunion gathering. He said that every year the crowd would grow, and sometimes he would look around and he wouldn't even recognize some of the people that were there. He thought strangers were sneaking in. Because, as we all know, deviled eggs just taste better in green Tupperware. Otis, as a young child, wanted to be with his cousins, running and playing and doing all the things kids are doing. And he would sneak to the dessert table, but one of his aunts or uncles would always catch him. And they would tweak his cheeks. And then they would say, "Whose boy are you?" From year to year, they would ask the same question. No one seemed to ever recognize him, but they always wanted to talk forever to him. "Whose boy are you?" they would ask. And he said, "I'm Ruth's boy." "Do you have any brothers or sisters?" "Yes. Wendell is my youngest brother. My brother is an only child." When he got to the punchline, whoever was asking the question would get so confused and flustered, they wouldn't know what the next question should be, and he would run back to his cousins and enjoy the rest of his time at the family reunion. "My brother is an only child." Mercy. Thanks be to God that in the church, you nor I are only children. Thanks be to God that we are family together in this place. Paul says to the Ephesians and to us, "You are now saints and members of the household of God." So if you don't mind, please turn to whoever's on your right or your left and say, "Good morning, saint." Now, husbands, I know you're already used to saying that each morning. But I hope your wife responded. Gail and I practiced on the way over. It took us several minutes for that greeting. The key role of the church is to be a place of welcome, to be a place for all people, to be able to come together, to be with one another, and to be one another with God and each other. So I'm going to give you a little Greek this morning. The Greek word is allelon, not Al-Anon. That's something different. Allelon, A-L-L-E-L-O-N. In English, it translates be one another to each other. And if you want to do a word study, there's a fascinating thread from Old to New Testament and beyond where that little phrase, that little word allelon is woven all through Scripture. Be one another to each other. Lift up one another. Pray for one another. Love one another. But I got to tell you, family is a challenging word. Michael J. Fox, you know the celebrity, says family is not an important thing. It's everything. Another person describes family like this. I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. And then I want to move in with them. Our friend Phyllis Diller gave us those words. And then perhaps the wisest person of all around family is Olaf, the snowman. Do you know Olaf? Olaf says, some people are worth melting for. Thanks be to God. But family is dangerous. We have crazy people in our family. You don't even know my family and you're laughing. But they are all worth melting for. Some of them I would melt a little quicker for than others. Let me tell you about my family. In my family, we have liberal Democrats and MAGA Republicans. In my family, we have gays and straights, divorcees and longtime marrieds. We have fiscal conservatives who fuss about the stock market, and we have fiscal liberals who fuss about the stock market. We have caregivers and we have care receivers. We have lovers and we have fighters. My friend Randy, who grew up in the mountains of North Carolina, says, "It ain't a good funeral unless somebody cries and a fight breaks out." We have some similar family, I think. In my family, there are war veterans, there are Christian nationalists, there are civil rights activists, and there are respecters of religious freedom. We would all be able to stand with our hand on our heart and say, with liberty and justice for all, we just might mean different things by that. What I've just described to you sounds a lot like church. And I gotta tell you, you Democrats, you're driving me crazy. And you Republicans, you're driving me crazy. There is all kind of crazy in family, and there is all kind of crazy in the church. Sometimes when Gail and I would go home from family gatherings, depending on whose family, we would look at one another and say, "I must have been adopted. I have nothing at all in common with these people. My mother, I don't know where this woman came from." My mother, God rest her soul, was a nurse. She was a registered nurse. For 20 years, she was the nursing supervisor of our county hospital's emergency room. And in the morning, when she would leave for work, it was still in the days of starched white uniforms and shined white shoes and her nursing cap. And when my mother walked out the door, she looked like an angel. In the evening when she came in, not so much. And sometimes she would bring her work home with her, and we would be the beneficiaries of her work day. But the good news is that Jesus is our brother. The good news is that Jesus is our brother and cares enough to bring all of us into the family of God. And so you and I are brothers and sisters in the household of God under the faith of Jesus the Christ, which not only makes us family, but makes us saints. And at this church, you live that out. At this church, you have decided that you will make it a priority to embrace everyone. Here, everyone is normal. In a flawed, messy, and yet affirming way. Doesn't it feel good to be in a normal church with normal people? From the website, you say these words from the website. When we say everyone is welcomed, affirmed, valued, and loved, we mean that. We are a community that values the diversity and complexity of human experience. We embrace all who are a part of God's, hear these words, wildly abundant creativity. I don't know who wrote that, but I love that. Did you write that? Good. Good. I mean, not good, but good words. The website continues, we welcome questions, we embrace difference, and we work towards God's transformation together. Do you realize how special that makes you? Do you realize how special that makes you? Do you realize how much courage it takes to make that kind of statement? Well, in the days to come, I want you to start embracing that. It took a lot of courage for you as a congregation to make that kind of statement, not only to one another, but to the community, because I can tell you, as far as you can throw a rock around here and hit a church, a bunch of them don't think like you think. And thanks be to God for churches like us who are able to say with courage, we embrace all who are a part of God's wildly abundant creativity. We are family. We are God's crazy family in this place, but we are crazy together. My friend Harold grew up with his best friend, Bill. They were both only children in their family. They lived next door to one another. They grew up and were like brothers most of their growing up days. They went to different colleges. Bill went in the Army. Harold went into retail. And they moved back home and continued their friendship. Year after year after year, Bill was elected a deacon. And year after year after year, Harold would fall short by a couple of votes. It was disheartening, to say the least. One year, they were both up for election again, and Harold goes to Bill and says, "Hey, this year, would you mind not running for deacon?" And Bill says, "You know, I don't need to be a deacon." "Of course. Why do you not want me to be a deacon?" He said, "Because every time you run and win, I run and lose. And I would really like to be elected a deacon before my mama dies so she could be proud of me." It's a 50-year-old man making that statement. "I want to be a deacon so that I can be elected and my mama will be proud of me." So Bill decides not to run. In the meantime, the pastor comes to Bill and says, "I hope you're considering running for deacon this year." And Bill says, "Well, I'm not going to. I promised Harold that I wouldn't." And the pastor goes, "Oh, man, I need you. You know we're going into the new building campaign, and I really need you to give leadership to that." And Bill says, "Pastor, I promised Harold. He's closer to me than a brother." And as pastors sometimes do, "But God is calling you." And so Bill allowed his name to be put in, and Bill was elected and named the chair of deacons, and Harold lost again. And at that point, their relationship fractured. Bill and Harold would stand at the vestibule of the church and hand out bulletins, but where they used to stand at the same door, they now stood at other doors, and they turned their back to one another so they wouldn't have to see each other. Bill and Harold were in the same men's Sunday school class, but Bill would get there early and leave early, and Harold would get there late and hang around afterwards so they wouldn't have to speak to one another. It was a painful rift in the church that carried on for many years. One Monday in staff meeting, the pastor came to me and said, "There is a vacant lot beside our church, and when it rains, mud washes down from that vacant lot down into the driveway, and my wife gets mud on her shoes. I would like for you to have a brotherhood meeting and get all the men of the church together, feed them breakfast, and then take them up there and throw grass seed out on that muddy piece of property so the grass will grow and the mud won't roll down into the parking lot anymore." And I said, "That would be great." So we got all the men together and we fed them grits and eggs and had a big time. And then we all went up to the top of the hill on this flat piece of land and we lined up shoulder to shoulder. And we passed out aprons from the Home Depot and we put everybody grass seeds in their aprons. And I said, men, in just a minute, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to step out side by side and we're going to cast our seed upon the ground. And then we will step and we will step and we will step until we get to the other end of the property. And then we will turn around and we will come back this way and then we'll go home. So everybody was good. So we lined up. We're all ready to pray. I asked Brother John if he would give us a word of prayer. Lord, some of this seed is going to fall on bad soil. You know the parable. He prayed the whole daggum parable in the King James Version. During the prayer, I looked around and Bill was on this side of me. And Harold was on this side of me. And I said, Now, some of you don't know me well enough yet, but one of my spiritual gifts is smart aleck. So Brother John finished his prayer and we stepped out and we began to sow grass seed. About halfway across, I took a handful of seed and I threw it at Bill. And Bill looked at me with a mean face and I said, it was Harold. We got to the other end. We finished that part. We turned around and we were ready to go back. We took about two or three steps out into the middle of the lot. I took another hand of grass seed and I threw it at Harold. And he looked at me with a mean face and I said, it was Bill. And about two more steps, the first annual First Baptist Church Grass Seed Sowing and Mud Wrestling Fellowship broke out amongst us. And grown men had the best time throwing grass seed up in the air, wrestling in the mud, and just having fun. And then it dawned on us, how are we going to get in our cars and get home? So I went and got the hose pipe. Y'all don't have hose pipes up here. You have garden hoses. But in Georgia, we have the hose pipe. And I grabbed the hose pipe and hooked it up, and we were going to wash each other off. Wrench each other off is how we say it in Georgia. So I grabbed the hose, and I turned around, and the person standing behind me was Bill. And I helped Bill wash off, and I sprayed him, you know, and got all the mud off as best we could. And then Bill took the hose pipe, and he turned around, and there was Harold. And so Bill took the hose pipe and washed Harold. And all that mud washed off. And about 50 years worth of anger washed off as well. And as they finished washing, Bill reached out and he and Harold embraced. My brother is an only child. No. My brother is my best friend. My brother is my best friend, and I've been missing this brother for 25 years. And all that mud and all that anger washed down the drain. You are saints. And you are part of God's family. Thanks be to God. Pray together. Because sometimes, God, we just can't help it. And so we ask your forgiveness. sometimes our crazy just goes wild and we can't contain it and we don't contain it and we hurt those around us that we love the most. It's hard to be family, oh God. But because of Jesus, because of your gift of grace through your Son, Jesus the Christ, some days we get it right. I thank you for a church that gets it right. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.